Well, good morning. Before I turn around, I will say you're looking good. Now that I'm looking, I still say the same thing. By the way, I spent 2 days with Brother Steve Ziner up in, Lake Zurich, Illinois. It's on the west side of Chicago. Went to a conference there. And had some tremendous teaching and preaching, and some of you looked at my jaw and wondered what happened. Steve hit me in the middle of the night, but no, not really. I had a tooth pull earlier this week. I don't know what happened, but nonetheless, Brother Steve wanted me to certainly mention to you his great thanks for your support and love, and he loves this church, and. It's always good to get around him. He's always upbeat. One of the things I like is getting around folks who got a positive outlook on things. Amen. One of the easiest things to do when you get in the pulpit is to talk about all the bad things and tell you all the wickedness and terrible, horrible things that you do. All of us are there, right? We're sinners. But thank God we're saved by grace. And thank God, by grace, God changes things in our lives. And, well, that's a place we can look at. And praise God for it. And looking forward to Brother Steve being with us, by the way. Come about April for our missions conference once again. And we're also going to have with us that week Brother Ron Todd's son, who is working with him down in Costa Rica. And also doing a very fine job down there. And I think a couple others, if I can remember who they are. There are two signs that you're getting old. I don't remember the first one. I don't know what the second one is. I've told you this before, but you need to hear it again. There are three signs when you're getting older. And I've had two of these, really, quite seriously. One of them is you're looking good. I don't know how many people have said to me, you're looking good. Very seldom I hear somebody say you're good looking, but they say you're looking good. And I've seen some pictures of when I was in the hospital a couple years ago. You are right. The next one is, and this one's true too, he's got good color today. Got good color today. That's the second stage. And the third stage is, he looks so natural. I have no idea why I said that. Book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Book of Hebrews chapter 11. Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It does good to get around people who medicate us. Amen? And, you know, we can enjoy things of life and all that God's put around us. And by the way, there's a lot of things to laugh at. A lot of things. Every morning when you get up and you walk into the bathroom, there's something there that gives you something to laugh about. It's called a mirror. Amen? And you'd look at that thing and say, wow, who's that? And then you start doing your stuff and all that business. Oh, I don't know what that means. By the way, just for you folks who are concerned, I haven't lost them all yet. It's a marble. You haven't seen one in weeks. I'm just teasing. Hebrews chapter number 11, let's get serious this morning. Verse number 1 through 6, Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's go, Lord, and ask for his blessing. Father, thank you today for the privilege of the Word of God. We pray, Spirit of God, you might anoint and bless, that you would cause your Word to just leap in our hearts and do the work that certainly needs to be done for each of us. Lord, we're so thankful today as we come that though we all have different needs and so forth, you are the God of this universe that knows every need of every heart. And through one word spoken, somehow you can speak to many hearts at once. We thank you for that. We pray that you might bless and work in these moments in Christ's name. Amen. Man has the capability to believe anything or anybody. We have that capability. We can believe anything or anybody. Some of the things I've heard that people believe absolutely astound me. Maybe you're one of these. There are folks who believe that the earth is flat. But I got news to you. If it was, the cat would have knocked everything off of the edge by now. Living proof. Amen. Seriously. People believe many, many different things. I believe to have faith is really of little consequence because all of us believe. This morning you got up and you went to the switch and you flipped that switch on believing something. You believe when you push that thing up or maybe down that light was going to appear. Okay? You believe when you walked in the bathroom that when you pushed that little handle down, water was going to and some more was going to come back. Isn't that true? Some of you men, you stood in front of the mirror and you took out a razor, plugged it into this little thing, and you began to go up and down your face believing that it was going to shave your face. Well, we operate with belief, do we not? Many of you got in your cars this morning, and how many walked to church this morning? Huh? My wife and I are the only ones that walked to church this morning. Bunch of lazy bums. Anyway, some of you walk farther in the parking lot than we did from our house. Anyway, we learned something. That is, we walk outside, we get in our car, we take a key, and sometimes we don't even take a key anymore, and you turn the ignition, and the thing starts. You believe it's going to work, don't you? Matter of fact, most of you probably did not check your tires to see if there was air in it. You just believe the air stayed in there from yesterday. And that you can take off and you can drive your way to church. You believe that when that light up there turned green, the traffic that was going the other direction, it would turn red, and that you could just keep on going and they would stop and you wouldn't get in an accident. We operate by faith all the time. So it's not something that's inconsequential, but it's something that's really quite important. But what is important is who we believe. It is important what we do believe. From this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, sometimes called the Hall of Faith, we learn of heroism by those who demonstrated faith in God. They demonstrated faith in God. In a singular thought, we'll not get into it directly today, but in a singular thought, faith is shown in this chapter as obedience to what God told them. They did something because God told them to do it, and God says by faith they did that. Now we're going to look at the first six verses. We're going to actually leave out the thoughts about Abel and Enoch. Probably, if God leads, go into that next week. But we find from the verses here some very important principles of practice. Number one, look at verse number one once again. Here we find what we could call the definition of faith. We need to always have definement within our minds so we know what we're talking about. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is said to be a substance, something that is tangible. and evidence, that which is making something factual. Some of you might remember, it's been many, many years ago, one of the very first missionaries we ever had was Brother Lynn Randall. And back in those very early days, it might have been the second, maybe the third missions conference we ever had, Brother Lynn Randall came. He was a missionary to the East Caroline Islands. Any of you folks remember him that were around that long? Some of my kids do. And Brother Lynn was quite an unusual fellow. As he went over there and took the gospel to these people, it's island nation, and of course they live on an island. One of the biggest things they did there was fish and so forth. But he came to our church and he said this. When he looked at verse number one, he gave it two parts. He said this, faith is confidence. Faith is confidence. I believe you could agree with that. It's confidence that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And then he said this, and it took me a long time to begin to figure out what he was saying. Faith is calling into existence that which does not exist. Faith is believing that God is going to do something that we can't see right now. One of the great things I think about faith missions that we practice here is this. We sit down, we think, what does God want me to do in the area of missions? And so every year, folks, it's not a pledge, it's just a card we mark to really to show our commitment to the Lord. And so we put down a dollar amount, how much we believe that God can give back to us if we give it to him. That's a pretty easy principle, amen? Seriously. So we look at that, and on that little card, you'll notice right at the very top, it'll have $100. And some people look at that and say, $100? We're talking about a week, not a month. Give $100 a week, and I believe God will give it back to me. Would you agree with me this morning? That would probably take great faith. You know, unless your name's Warren Buffett, it's going to take some faith. And most of us are not in that kind of position whereby it would just be laying around, and so we'd have to believe God. By the way, we have in our church one individual that gives twice that every week. Believe God for that. I find that just absolutely astounding. But calling to existence that which does not exist. In other words, having faith in God that is tangible, factual. They believe that God is going to do something if they do this. He says there are things hoped for. We've talked about this word a number of times in Sunday school recently. We're not talking about things that are wished for, but things we are sure of, which give us a hope. Let's use this word, expectation. So let's go back there again. Notice what it says there in verse number one. Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. It's the substance of that which we expect. Because we believe God for it, we expect God to do what he said he would do. The evidence of things not seen. Drop down to verse number three for just a moment. Notice, I believe this is really an illustrative verse of that phrase. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. There are two main thoughts in our society today. There are those who believe the world came about by a series of mutations and happenings, and they call it evolution. By the way, when I was in school, they called it a theory of evolution because it's a theory. And God's people should say, yeah. But there's another group of people that really are minority, and they just happen to believe that God created everything. Now, there's a reason people don't want to believe that God created everything, because if they believe God created everything, then they've got to believe that God is over everything and they are answerable to God, and they don't want to be answerable to anyone. And so there's a problem there. But he tells us here in this verse, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. God did what? He spoke and it came into existence. I find that fascinating. But notice what he says about that. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He called into existence that which did not exist. That's our God. And when you and I have a faith, we have an evidence of that which we can't see. If we know that everything got here by God's design, we know then that when God says, do this or do that, or this or that or the other thing, then God is going to act according to what he says in his book. Isn't that true? How many believe God answers prayer? Why do you believe that? Bible says you ask, you shall receive. Isn't that true? Now, one of the big things I hear from people, they say this, well, God many times answers my prayer by saying no. Can I give you a thought? You haven't asked right if you get no's. Because I find from the Word of God, anything we ask according to His will, He answers. Anything that's going to bring glory to God, He answers. He's going to do it. How many believe if somebody got saved, that'd be to the glory of God? Huh? Would that bring God glory? Does God want everybody to be saved? That's His will. So I look at that and I find the will of God is that all men might be saved. I understand what God wants, and so therefore, if I'm praying in the will of God, I can look at that verse and I can claim that, and I can look at somebody who's a friend or a loved one, and I can pray for them and ask God to work in their lives, and I can rest assured that God is going to work in their lives. You say, well, I've prayed for people and they didn't get saved. Listen to me. God doesn't make anybody. But God will work in anybody's life. Amen? Good night, He worked in yours. Was that a miracle? Amen. And God can work in their life. I believe this sincerely. If I pray for somebody who is lost, they need Christ their Savior, God is going to answer that prayer somehow, some way, and He is going to work upon their heart. He'll bring somebody into their life. He'll bring a piece of literature across their desk. He might even flash something on the television screen. That'll be a miracle. And they would see that, and something would take place in their heart. Now, they have the chance to what? They can reject it or they can accept it. But I can pray and know that God is going to answer my prayer. Eh? For 5 years, we had a neighbor where the house used to be right over here. I prayed for Charlie. I asked God, would you save him? And I wanted to see Charlie saved. And Charlie got sick and was in really bad shape. And I asked God to work in his heart. And Charlie would never listen to me. And one day it was almost like, don't tell me about this anymore. My mind is made up. But I kept asking God, did he get saved? Not to my knowledge. But I believe this intently. God worked in his heart over and over and over again. So we have this wonderful thing of prayer. And listen, what is it? It's something that God said to do. He would take care of it. He would follow through and he would do his thing. What's faith? Call into existence that which is not seen. What's not seen? Somebody testifying to them, but we can call that into existence. Amen? And then notice secondly, drop down to verse number 6 with me. And it says here, but without faith. First of all, in verse 5, he's talking about Enoch, and it says his faith pleased God. And then he goes on to make this very definite to us. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to what? Please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's only one thing that you and I possess that can bring pleasure to God. It's our belief in his existence and his ability to bless us. That's what it says, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, what? Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's a blesser, if you please, of them that diligently seek him. You and I have a possession that brings God pleasure. And when that brings God pleasure, we find that God has the ability to bless us marvelous. Now, I don't think God's impressed with our abilities. I was reading an article this morning. It was talking about Hollywood actors and actresses. Have you noticed how important they are? Now think about it for just a moment. Here are people, they're given something, they dress up in somebody else's clothes, they read something that somebody else wrote down, and they do what a director tells them to do, and they get all these big bucks for it, and everybody then gives them great big awards for being somebody that they aren't. Forgive me, it was kind of like clowns in Congress. Do you know what a group of gorillas is called? They're not a flock. They're not a herd. They're honestly called a Congress of gorillas. Had nothing to do with the message, but I thought you'd like that. God is not impressed with our abilities. He's not impressed with our gifts. Why? Because He's the one that gave them to us. Our works, that which we do, can bring Him honor and glory. They have that ability. But what pleases Him from us is our faith. Think about this for a moment. You go to the book of Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10. It's talking about a centurion. A centurion had come to Jesus. He's not a Jew. And he has a servant. And he's requesting that this servant would be healed. But in the process of asking Jesus to heal his servant, he says to him, "You don't need to come to my house. Just say the word, and I believe it can happen." In chapter 8 and verse 10, it says this, "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Was Jesus impressed with the centurion who sought for the healing of his servant? He was impressed because the fellow knew that Jesus only but needed to say the word, and it would be taken care of. There was another occasion, a woman was vexed with a demon, her daughter was vexed with a demon. I've known a few mothers like that. I'm just teasing. And she brings her daughter to Jesus. And you know what Jesus said to her? "Woman, great is thy faith." There's two times the Lord looks at people and He talks about the greatness of their faith. There's a time the Lord Jesus is sitting in the temple and they had the big trumpet. In other words, just this big thing that they would throw their money into. And, of course, it was mostly coins. And so as they come, they throw their coins in, the bigger, heavier ones. They would make a higher clunking sound than the little ones that might just be a little bit of a tink. And so you could kind of tell what people are throwing in. And so here comes this widow woman. And the Bible says that she threw in two mites. Now, by our standards today, that's not even a penny. But it was everything that she owned. And Jesus took note of it. The Bible does not say this. It does not record anything of the instance. But I'm a firm believer that God took care of that widow woman. Because He has a principle in His Word, and that is when we give to Him, He takes care of us. God is pleased with our faith. All of these in the book of Hebrews, they acted upon what and who they believed. Notice verse 4. By faith what? Abel did what? offered. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Why was that? Because he had this testimony, he pleased God. He walked with God. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, in other words, God said, I want you to go here. He went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't have GPS, he didn't have maps, but he knew where God wanted him to go, and God took him. And on we can go by faith, by faith, by faith. One of these I'm going to preach on. If you go down to verse number 22, I find it fascinating. All the things that Joseph did, it says by faith when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Whoa. That was by faith. They acted upon what and who they believed. John 5:24. Verily, verily. In other words, truly, truly. He wants to understand this is something that is of great importance. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Over 52 years ago, I heard the word. I believed it. And God gave to me, based upon that scripture, everlasting life. I will not come into condemnation. Be passed from death unto life. Here, all we got to look forward to is the coffin. There are no coffins in heaven. Here we have a sun that shines. There we have the sun, S-O-N, who lights heaven. How's that come about? Because I believed in what Jesus did for me. You've heard the story, you can probably tell it. But we're sinners, isn't that true? We've sinned against an almighty righteous God. He's holy and we're not. But God has provided for us a way to obtain holiness. It's not through what we do, because we cannot undo what we've already done. Do you realize that everything that you did on the internet last month is recorded and it can be found? Everything. By the way, there are companies that are doing that because they want to find out what you like so they can advertise the things they want you to buy from them. We're all sinners. It's recorded. But here's the great news. God takes all of those sins upon him, has laid the iniquity of us all. And death is the wage of sin, and Jesus died not for his, but for mine. Amen. And thus, I look at this whole thing, and this is what I understand. What I believe, what he did for me, it's mine. Not by my works, but simply because I believe what God did for me. He that heareth my word and believeth on me, him that sent me, hath everlasting life. It's a promise. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Christian, listen to this. John chapter 14. Verse 12, 13, and 14, he says, "Verily, verily," there's those words again, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." God's teaching us something there. The Lord Jesus has done great things. But God, if we will believe him, can use us to do great things. What can I do to be so great? I'll forget the time frame. About 3 years ago, this young lady, aren't you glad I said young? She is. It's a comparative statement. Your daughter thinks you're old, but you're not. Has it been 3 years? Four? Three? She started attending this church. Now, I don't know what she thought before, but after a process of time and God worked in her heart, she put her faith in Jesus Christ. It changed her eternal destination from hell to heaven. Is that a miracle? And so sometimes somebody says, "Boy, somebody got saved," and we say, "Oh, okay. That ought to be hallelujah. Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Did God answer every prayer of Jesus? I think so. Can he answer all of ours? I think so. We have the privilege to see tremendous things take place if we'll believe God for it. If I tell you I grew up very shy, afraid of people, most you'd say, "I don't believe it." But it's true. And God called me to preach. The very first time I stepped in the pulpit, before I got there, I had to go to the bathroom. I threw up twice. I was so nervous. I was so sick. I took speech class in college. Two different colleges I took speech class. I was a glutton for punishment. And every time I walk into the class, I would sit there thinking, "Oh, I hope they don't call my name. I hope they don't call my name." And they go through the whole class period and they didn't call my name. And I think, "Oh, whew." Only to come back the next class period knowing it was going to get closer. I'm so stupid. If I got it done the first time, I could have enjoyed the next day. Scared to be in that spot. But God can do things with us we don't think we could do. Some of the men I know in pulpits were some of the meanest, nastiest guys walking the face of the earth. But God saved their soul. We used to have a fellow come here with his wife, the Terrys. Dole Terry, before he got saved, he was a detective. Where was he, Wichita? Roseanne, you remember, is that Wichita? He was somewhere down there. I remember the very first time he came, and they came to sing, he'd gotten saved. And I looked at this man, big brute of a guy. And it was a year, maybe 2 years later. He's standing in the very same place, and he's singing. And I saw something that absolutely marveled me. His whole countenance had softened from the hardness of a soldier, the hardness of a police officer, to the softness of Christ. And every time I saw him in the years to come, it got softer. Wow. Can God do things in your life? Yeah. Yeah. He wants to. What's the problem? It's our faith. We think so often as God's people, we think, well, God can use them, God can use that person, God can use that person. God wants to use you. Amen. Here's just a homely illustration. Have you ever walked through the church building and saw a piece of paper on the floor? How many have ever done that? You've done that? Do you know why you saw it? God wanted you to pick it up. Now come tell me, oh, preacher, there's a piece of paper on the floor. Somebody needs to go pick that up. I've had that happen many times. God gives us abilities. If we'll just stop and let him do it. Amen? He can use you in the lives of other people. Wow. I've told a couple of you recently, what a blessing you are to me. When I step in this pulpit and I see your face, Wow. And I think this, why did you come today? There's no special speaker. But God somehow wants to use me. This shy little boy, scared of his shadow. But God wants to use us. Amen? By faith. Believe God. Amen? Do you know what he's saying you can do with faith? Can move mountains. You know that? Yeah. We built that very first building over there. We had very little money. I knew this fellow, and I said, can I get you to come in and dig this basement? And he said, sure, I'll do that. I said, what will you charge me? He said, I'll just do it. We had another fellow come, and he laid some blocks out there, and we got done with that, and we actually put a knee wall in for you who don't, well, anyway, that's another explanation, but it came time to put in an I-beam. I said, you know where I can get an I-beam at me? He says, yeah. He says, I got one in my backyard. We needed a 60-foot I-beam. He had two 30-foot ones. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, we're going to need to put a middle post in it. He says, measure how long that post will be down to the little base that you've put there. I strung a string across there and measured down and gave him the measurement. There's no way in this world that ought to be accurate. But when he got here, he'd already welded those things on. When he got here, he took his, what do you call that? I won't call it a drag line. He took it and he raised those up and he set it down in there and welded together, and that was straight across. Impossible. But God's in it. We got a great God. Amen. I'm amazed. I said, we need a parking lot. He says, I'll bring you some rock. He said, you'll have to pay for the gravel, but I'll haul it in for you. God used him. And I've seen God use him and others and different things to do marvelous things. What God wants to do. Amen. How's it happen? By faith. By faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much today. We have this marvelous ability to believe. But oh Lord, thank you today that we can look and understand that who and what we believe is of utmost importance. And Lord, that we might have strong, strong belief in you, your ability. First of all, we'd have a belief that you can save our held distant soul. A belief that you can use us in marvelous ways. Work in our hearts today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.